You know, I want to share something I call the power of love. Mark 12, 30 and 31 says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, and there's no other commandment greater than these." Now, somebody said, "Well, you got the Ten Commandments." Well, let me tell you what. If you walk in the commandment of love, you won't break the Ten Commandments. That's why he says this, okay? He tells us to love others as ourselves. He said we walk in love. So that means it's possible to do it. Now, I've heard some people say, "Oh, you know, I can't love them, man. They're just unlovable." And maybe that person has done something to them, or they've got mad over something. But still, you still got to walk in love. God said walk in love. And he told us that it was necessary for us to walk in love. In fact, in Galatians, it says faith works by love. So if you're not walking in love, your faith walk's not going to work very well. He commanded us to love one another as he loved us in John 13, 34 and 35. John 13, 34, 35. He said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." John Blanchard, in his book, Gathering Gold, he said, "Christian love is the distinguishing mark of a Christian life." Amen. We could say that the love of God is a means of being identified as a Christian. You know, many of you know my father, Kenneth E. Hagin. How many of you know my father, Kenneth E. Hagin? Yeah, most of you did. He preached here many times. He's known as the father of faith and the faith message. But those who knew him were more impressed by his love walk. In fact, at his memorial service in 2003, when he went home to be with the Lord, everybody that said something said more about his walk of love toward people than they did about his faith or anything else. You know, there's probably, I know there's two books. I hope they're back there. One of them is his book called Love, the Way to Victory. And my book, it's a little mini book. It's called Faith Works by Love. And these two books will help you tremendously with your Christian walk. You know, according to Strong's Concordance, love is mentioned 310 times in the New King James Bible. It's one of the major topics. My dad said in his book, Love, the Way to Victory, "The Bible encourages us to make the love of God our great aim and our greatest quest in life." See, we need to realize that God made it possible for us to love one another. Look at Romans 5:5. Romans 5:5. Now, I'll wait for y'all to turn there. You can get on your device or turn in your Bible. See, I cut and paste, and they're already writing. I don't even have to hunt them. They're already here for me. I go to my Bible program and cut them and paste them from different translations. In fact, I'm going to read this from four different translations. Now, Romans 5:5. "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Amen. Now, as we begin to look at this, in the Living Bible, it says we know how dearly God loved us, and we feel this warm love everywhere within us because God has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. Now, the Voice translation says, the Holy Spirit that was given to us has flooded our hearts with God's love.
Amen.
Now, another translation says, we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives within us. So this verse tells us that the love of God has already been poured out in our hearts.
Amen.
In fact, there is one verse that says the love of God been shed abroad in your heart.
Yes.
So this means that we have the love of God within us and that we can love others.
Amen. Amen.
I may not be able to love somebody in the natural, but with the love of God that I have in my heart because I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, then I can love that person. If you have the love of God on the inside of you, then you can love. Some people don't walk successfully in their Christian life because of the fact that they don't know enough about walking in love. You know, a lot of people don't know that they can walk in love. God can help them. Now, God does not expect us to do it in our own strength. There is no way we could do it in our own strength. But we can do it in His strength and His ability. He does expect us to take this love that has been shed abroad in our hearts, and He expects us to love other people. Now, wait, let me say this. Walking in love does not mean that you have to be a doormat.
That's right.
That everyone else gets to walk all over you. That's not walking in love. God did not intend for us to be used and abused.
That's right.
Or manipulated. You have to deal with some problems when they come, but you can do it in a way in which you still love the people. How many understand what I'm talking about? You know, I had to learn this myself. When people said nasty things against my father's ministry, and he would just say, Lord, forgive them. Now, in my book, Faith Works by Love, I said it was difficult to suffer long when things were said against my father. I knew that what he had done, and he had left and went out and ministered all over the world because God asked him to, and many times without having all the comforts and the material things that we needed, he would not compromise. He continued to do what God asked him to do. And yet when people said bad things about him, called him bad names, he did not respond to them except said, Lord, forgive him.
Lord.
Now, people say something about me, who cares? But, you know, they start talking about your family, you get a little bit upset.
Yeah.
Hello?
Amen.
Yeah. See, we can love others as we love ourselves. That's what the Bible, I read that, right?
Yeah.
Didn't it say? Isn't that what I read to you a while ago? Love your neighbor as yourself.
Yes.
You know, everybody takes care of self. In fact, the strongest human desire and human strength is preservation.
Yes.
That is the strongest urge that you have. You see it with how that these people that have, especially some of our servicemen that have gone through incarceration in prisoners of war camp, the atrocities that went through them, but that will to live is so strong that they kept going. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us.
Amen.
The Living Bible says, so you see, our love for him comes as a result of his loving us first. Now, if you listen to some preachers preach, you would think that God is mad at everybody. They paint a picture of an early angry God who is looking to punish people. That's not God. You know, sometimes, I grew up, I was born in 39, so through the 40s, 50s, 60s, and so forth. But back there when I was a kid, you know, if you listen to some of those preachers back there then, of course, my dad was a pastor when I was born, and then in 49 he left to go travel all over the world. But, you know, back then, if you listen to some of those preachers, you'd think that God was sitting in heaven with a huge flash water just waiting for you to mess up so he could get you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever? Hey, I got some partners in here. Okay, but that's not God. Now, God expects you to live right and do right, but he is not sitting up there to punish you. He said that if you do mess up, ask for forgiveness, and then he will forgive you and help you. Come on. 1 John 4:9. It's just a little lesson on love. I don't know whether you call this a sermon or what you call it, but maybe it's just a talk, which I'm good at, always have been. In 1 John 4:9, in this the love of God was manifest toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sin. Now, the Voice Bible says it like this: because of this, the love of God is a reality among us. God sent his only Son into the world so that we could find true life through him. This is the embodiment of true love. Not that we have loved God first, but that he loved us and sent his unique Son on a special mission to become an atoning sacrifice for our sins. According to these verses and other verses, God loved us before we ever existed.
Amen.
He sent his Son that we might have life and have it more abundantly.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we don't feel like walking in love. I mean, let's just be real. You know, sometimes some people try to be so pious. That's one thing people always say about me. They say, man, you just real. I said, well, there's no use trying to put on some kind of front. I said, I get upset at all these people. Of course, yes, I went to Bible school. I got degrees. I studied homiletics and all that kind of stuff, and I know how to put on my professional voice and say, Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for you to be in our midst today. Have y'all ever heard people like that? That's not real. I don't know how it is now, but when I was used to, as a teenager and back listening, they used to have disc jockeys and people, you know. Well, there was one guy that I knew that was a disc jockey. And man, on the radio, he sounded one way, but you talking to him in person, like I'd be talking to Joe Bob there, it didn't even sound like the same person. Anybody ever run into somebody like that? You know, hey, let's just get real. We don't always feel like walking in love. I don't. But I can.
That's right.
Because of the love of God that dwells inside of me. I can do it. Did I say it would be easy? No. Did I say it would be fun? No. Did I say it would be right? Yes. That is the right thing to do. Sometimes we would just as soon slap somebody. Come on, get real. As it is to say, hey, I forgive you.
Amen.
You know, when somebody does something hurtful to us, the enemy brings thoughts to us. Okay, I guarantee you, I can get even with them. He begins to, but that's when we need to remind ourselves the value of walking in love. Perhaps you'll encounter a person that was responsible for doing something wrong. And you can walk, if you learn how to walk in love, you can walk up to that person and say, hello, how are you? Even give them a hug. That happened to me back in July at the camp meeting. A minister that had done me wrong. I saw him at the camp meeting. He came up. I shook his hand. I said, man, how you doing? God bless you. And I gave him a hug. Another minister, friend of mine, he said, I don't think I could have done that. Because he knew about the situation. He said, I don't think I could have done that. I said, well, you better be able to. Because that's walking in love. Now, what he did wasn't right. And it's still not right. But I am not going to contribute. I'm not going to hinder myself. See, when you don't walk in love, you're not hindering that person. You're hindering your own self. Because the Bible says faith works by love. It tells us to walk by love. Our blessings come because we learn how to walk in love. Now, in my little book, Faith Works by Love, I say a study of God's love can show you the best way to live. That's just one of the statements there. It's on page 6 if you don't know where it is. Walking in love sets us up for victory and success. Sometimes people think they're walking in love and they have no idea what biblical love is. They think if they're soft-hearted, they're walking in love. That's not necessarily love. They think that if you get emotional when you talk about God, that's walking in love. No, not really. I mean, those two things don't hurt. I mean, you know, some people think that you're walking in love if you always let the other person have their way. Well, that's not necessarily so either. And sometimes you do need to let them have their way. Right? Now, we could be all of those things that I just said, and really not be walking in love. First, fortunately, the Apostle Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 13 how to walk in love.
Amen.
You see, I'm going to make a statement, then I'm going to read the verse, starting with verse 4. Love is always glad for the prosperity and promotion of others and is willing to take a back seat if necessary. Verse 4. Of the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Love endures long, is patient, kind. Love is never envious or boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. Now I'm reading from the Amplified Version, the classic edition of the Amplified Version. Now, you know, love doesn't go around doing things against other people and telling tales, even if it's the truth. Verse 5. It's not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Whoa, that's a tough scripture right there. That's a tough one right there, I can tell you. Whoa. Love doesn't wish bad things to happen to others. he goes on to verse 6, says, love doesn't rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. If you don't walk in love, do what he tells you in Philippians. Remember he tells you there, whatever is true, whatever is good, so forth and so on. Think on these things.
Amen.
See, love always believes the best and says the best about others. Verse 7, love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Endures. Ooh, that's a tough statement right there. You know, love always comes out on top and outlasts every attack. No, verse number 8. Love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. Now, these verses describe what walking in the God kind of love really is. You know, they tell us how to respond to other people in different situations. Love always behaves itself appropriately around people. Love never takes advantage. Have you ever been taken advantage of by somebody?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Probably we all have. Some of us more than others because of our positions. But you don't turn around and take it back.
Amen.
Love doesn't tell everything it knows about somebody.
That's good.
My father-in-law, I was associate pastor with him for 6 years. He was my wife's father, was a pastor for 50-something odd years. And he tells this story about this guy was the meanest, the worst man in town. Nobody had anything good to say about him at all. Well, he died, and they were having his funeral. And as the people went by, you know. So now, this guy that never said anything bad about anybody goes up and stands at the casket of this rascal. And he had lived his life like the devil. And the man stood there for a period of time looking into the casket. And finally he said, well, he did have pretty teeth, didn't he? He found something good to say about the guy. Nobody else had anything good to say about him. But he found something good. Maybe that's what we need to do sometimes. You know, when Paul wrote these verses of Scripture to the Corinthian church, they had all kinds of strife, carnality, divisions, everything else going on in that church. So if a carnal church like Corinth could walk in love, then surely we can walk in love.
Amen.
We need to walk in love towards people and use these verses as a guideline. Sometimes when a person says or does something to us, we need to take a moment to read these verses of Scripture and get our thoughts together before we respond. Man, we may need to just put these verses on a little card carried in our billfold or a pocket or something.
Amen.
You may have to look at these really long time.
Yeah.
Back in our early days of our ministry, Lynette and I, we'd only been married just a few years, and it was the hardest thing I ever did to stand in the exhibition hall, and everybody, and the friends of mine that I went to Bible school with, university, they had churches, and they knew that I was in the traveling ministry, and that I was, booking meetings. And there they were booking all these kids that were novices, and I have experience. They were booking all these kids out of the university, out of the Bible school, and it really began to bother me. I didn't know. I just let it go. A few years later, after we had some success and gone overseas and spoke to 10,000 people in Jabalonia Stadium in Soweto there by the black township that was back when apartheid was in. Thank God that's gone. And now he comes to me and he said, "Man, I sure could use you. You've traveled and you could really help my church." I wanted to say, "Bud, when I needed you, you didn't need me. And now I don't need you, and you need me." Because I have more speaking engagements than I could get to.
Yeah.
Then I didn't have any.
Right.
Now I got more than I can get to. And I did. I wanted to. Oh, I wanted to badly. But I just looked at him. I said, "Listen, my schedule is full as it can be. But if the Lord deals with me and tells me to come, I'll come." The Lord never dealt with me to come, and my schedule was always full, so I didn't go. Now, if the Lord had dealt with me, I would have went.
Amen.
I would have went. Even though I was in the natural, I wouldn't have wanted to.
Because
why help him when he wouldn't help me? Hello, come on, let's get real. Hello. See, we all have to learn to overcome bitterness and strife and walk in love. Love never fails. Love will give you the strength to go through difficult times. Love will give you the power to overcome what others do and say. My wife and I, we'll be married 53 years in December. Has it always been easy? No. But you know what? Because we love, really, truly love one another, we have walked through a lot of stuff.
Amen.
And any other married couple here can tell you that it's not easy. When I'm counseling people, I tell them all the time, if you truly love each other, there is nothing you can't overcome and can't work it out and get through. But it takes both of them. And sometimes one won't work with the situation. And so, that's what happens. But if two people really, truly love one another, they can make it. You see, if you learn how to let love walk in your life, you can overcome what other people say and do to you. People say stuff about me all the time. All you got to do is, somebody said to you, it's on the internet, there's my name, Google my name, you'll find it out. Don't do it because it says a bunch of junk that ain't even true. But you see, people start saying things. There's no use of me to try to refute it. Half of it's not true anyway, and the other half of it, they've taken something I've said and twisted it and made me say something I didn't say in it at all or don't believe at all. But you know what? I just say, Lord, bless them. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
Amen.
Jesus told us there, he said, pray for those that despitefully use you.
That's, right.
That's walking in love.
Right.
You know, if we continue to walk in love, we'll win. Now, I learned this from living with my dad, you know, and growing up in his house. And my wife, she would tell you, she had to learn this from me because she holds grudges. Huh?
Can I tell my story?
Sure. Come on, tell your story. It'll fit right in. I didn't know you wanted to. See, hey, that's the way we operate, all right?
And he's right. You know, when people would hurt me, I think when somebody hurts you, I think that's the hardest thing to forgive. And so people would hurt me, and I just hold a grudge. I just walk away and never talk to them. And he said, honey, you've got to forgive. And I said, I know, but how do you do it? And he said, you just do. Well, you just do didn't work for me. But you see, it's because that he learned that from a very young child.
Practiced it.
And you know, when you've practiced something for a long time, it's easy. But it wasn't easy for me. So, you know, I asked his dad, Dad, how do you do that? You just do. I got the same answer.
Like, well, father, like son.
That's right. So, you know, what I had, because everybody deals differently and God works with everybody differently. So I seriously went to God. I said, God, you know, if you don't forget, you don't forgive. I would say I forgave. But if I was still remembering, I wasn't really forgiving. And so the Lord took me over to Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. But here's the key, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now that's Matthew 5:44. You need to write that down. Now, this is what he told me to do. I have a set of scriptures that I read every day, and this is what he said to me. He said, you read that scripture the very first thing, and that person that you're having a really hard time forgiving, I want you to take the time and pray for them every day. Pray for them every day. Now, let me tell you how embedded this was in me. I'm telling you, it took about 5 years for me praying for them every day. That when I prayed for them, suddenly I couldn't remember what they had done to me. Now, let me tell you, once I passed that test, it was a really hard test to pass. But once I passed that test, and thank goodness I did, because I've had many more opportunities to hold grudges. But once I passed that test, it is so easy. When somebody does something to me, it's like, well, that's fine. You know, I forgive them. I go on. I forget it. And I haven't had any trouble since I passed that big, big test.
All right. Amen. You know, we need to remember that God's love on the inside of us is greater than the hate that others show to us or whatever they do to us. The love of God is greater than the evil that may be done to us. And as we depend upon the love of God, his power will bring us out on top in every situation, every time. Amen?
Yes, amen.
Walking in love will cause you to reap some spiritual benefits, but it also will bring natural benefits that you never thought about. Promotion can come. Finances can come. Other things can come because you take the brakes off and let God move in your life. Heavenly Father, we talk to these people for a few moments tonight about the love of God. And may each of us let the love of God reign supreme in our lives. And may we walk in that love as we walk with you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. With head bows and eyes closed, I never like to have a service that I preach anyway, that I don't give an opportunity if somebody needs to find Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. or somebody that may know that they know what it is to serve God, but they're just not where they need to be with God, and they need to rededicate their life to God. If there's anybody like that here tonight, raise your hands. I want to pray with you, and I want to pray for you. Anybody, anywhere in the room. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Let's all stand. Amen and amen and amen. Hey, if there's anybody that would like prayer for healing, if you come forward right now, we'd be glad to pray for you, pray for healing for you. So just come on to the front right now, and we'll pray. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just stand right here, Brother Wayne. Praise the Lord. We'll lay hands on him right now. Reach your hands out. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the healing power of God. You said in the Word that Jesus took his stripes on his back for our healing. I thank you now that the healing power of God is working in Brother Wayne's life to effect a healing and a cure. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bless you, man. This young lady right here. Her back.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, I thank you right now that you would touch this back of this young lady. Right now, the healing power of God flows in to minister to this back in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now. The Word of God says that they took handkerchiefs and aprons from the Apostle Paul when they were laid on the sick, but they recovered. I thank you for this child right now, this heart problem. Father, I thank you that it will cease and desist, and her heart will be normal, and she will live a normal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Bless you guys. Bless you. Praise the Lord. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, we need a miracle in this body.
Yes.
Father, I thank you right now. You said that we could believe God for healing, but you said that there also was miracles. I thank you now that the miracle working, healing working power of God work in this back and in this body in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless. Hallelujah. Raise your hands and thank God for God's healing power. For the power of God, amen and amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Next Sunday night, we'll be here at the same time. We'll be here again at the same time. Usually we try to go to 6 to 7. We're a little bit over, but it's all right. Miss Jane, our first-time guest there, take them and give them a special gift that we have for them. Thank you for being with us. Come back. All right, everybody. We'll see you next week. 6 o'clock right here.